Tonight's episode of Rapids Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. If football is your passion, you know all the players and the teams, their strengths and weaknesses, just like the players in the Big Brother house. Now you can put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. That's twice as much as anybody's going to make on Big Brother. It's part of the $5 million in total prizes that DraftKings is doling out in the Week 1 contest, because DraftKings .com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You can renew old rivalries by challenging friends, friendship, and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or join an existing league and go head to head with friends, workers, not co-HOH, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, because you could win some serious cash in Week 1. Use the code ROB and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code ROB to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in the Week 1 contest, only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is now squatting on the URL Friendship Times Podcast, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday night recap of the latest Big Brother episode here on Sunday, August 21st, as we are tonight, I believe, 1 month away from the Big Brother 18 finale, and we have a lot to talk through on a busy week in the Big Brother house, and much more. Let's welcome in first our guest tonight, who's joining us for the first time during BB18. You've heard him on a number of different RHAP podcasts, the Survivor Historians, and so many others. And of course, the host of the new RuPaul's Drag Race Rehap Up, Mike Bloom.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. I tried to beat my face in lieu of the newest show that I'm covering, but alas, I am not as well painted. But I'm thrilled to be here as your CO host. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes, CO. CO host. That is correct. And of course, joining me to talk through everything else and the live feeds, of course, welcome back, man, the third recap in a row for Big Brother. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Well, I'm dealing with this knife I've got in my back from America giving Michelle the care package. What was that?
I think you're gonna say from Brent. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Now you can use that knife to open up the care package, since Michelle had a lot of trouble doing so. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Michelle got the care package, and really can't believe it.
Dang it, Michelle.
Yep. That's right. I felt so confident that it was going to be Paul. I really did. What are you going to do? We'll talk about all of that and much more, the nominations. And of course, then we'll get into our live feed segment and talk about everything from the veto over the weekend and who might be going home on Thursday. Of course, we have somebody coming back into the Big Brother house as well later on this week. So a very busy Big Brother week here, heading into our last full week of August in 2016. First off, Mike, how have you been?
I've been doing well. It's been a fun summer so far. Wish I could say that applied to the Big Brother game, but I've been loving the coverage of it so far. You guys are having a hell of a time, and I think I speak on behalf of our audience when I think it definitely raises the tide of this season in general. It's been very up and down, as you know, Big Brother really is, but I feel like this season is a great sort of microcosm of what the good and bad of a Big Brother season can be.
Yeah, it's been a rough go here at times, but we've definitely had a lot of fun on the podcast. Of course, a happy belated birthday to you, Mike Bloom.
Thank you very much. I celebrated in style. There was everything. There were pies. There was a reggae concert. Me and my family just stood around for 8 hours and said, you know, you remember when this happened, and made really awkward segments. So I celebrated 27 in style, baby.
Yeah. All right. Taryn, what do you think is going to be more successful, this podcast or when Paul gets out of the house and starts his own podcast?
Well, Paul's obviously. He's got, you know, Friendship Times podcast. Like, it's gonna go off the charts. It's gonna beat cereal. It's gonna beat everything.
Yeah, Paul can just sit there every day and again, you know, give us.
Oh,
hey, it's your boy, and we're back for another podcast of Friendship Times. And here's what your boy has to say now. It'll be great. It'll probably put me out of business. And it was a nice run while we had it.
Yeah, just a one-man podcast, just ranting for a few hours every day.
Yeah,
I was going to say, will this be a direct competitor to News AF? You think Paul's just going to take news items of the day and be like, all right, great. The bombing in Syria. This is pissed. Talk about puppy dog rescue. This is friendship.
Yeah. Our new segment today. Pissed. Okay. Let's talk. But he has a laugh track on his show, Mike. Do you think that is the right way? There's not a lot of laugh tracks in podcasting.
Yeah. The Chuck Lorre sitcom tropes have not carried over to podcasting yet. I think we really have yet to integrate a studio audience. And you're probably the one that does it the best with your live chat, but we have yet to pipe in live feedback from the audience.
Okay. All right. So we've got a lot of live feedback from the audience to get to. Hashtag RHAP. And then again, on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay. Let's get into this. And Tyron and I talked through it after our wacky episode on Friday night, where we talked about the Big Brother clip show, which, got a lot of positive feedback for the most part from people who said that I don't know what that Big Brother episode was, but this was a very fun recap with Matt Hoffman. And so, Taryn, in that show, we talked through a little bit of what had developed in the Big Brother house on Friday between the care package and what unfolded with Natalie. Did you feel like that the show gave us a faithful interpretation of those events based on what you saw on Friday?
It gave us the gist of it. I think that they shied away from some of the main reasons that Natalie and James really ended up flipping. You know, a large part of the reason why she was upset with Paul was finding out that he was kind of the creator of the FT nickname. And that obviously didn't come up.
That's not friendship.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a good segment, Mike.
Friendship.
Yep, exactly. James will no longer be a guest on Friendship Times. He got his one and done when talking about what unlocks his heart.
Yeah, yeah. Which was not one and the same. So, all right, Taryn. So how did that come to light, really, for Natalie? Where, okay, Paul has been talking crap for you. Was that part of Paulie's campaigning, or was that more Nicole?
That was more Nicole. Yeah, Nicole had talked to Natalie a lot about, you know, Paulie told me this, Paul was saying this. And then once she kind of got her on board with, like, you know, Paul is pretty sketchy, you know, oh, by the way, you know, he's also talked a lot of crap about you. She was, and I think Natalie was the one that asked, oh, is he the one that came up with the name? And Nicole confirmed, yes. Yeah. He was the one that came up with it.
Yeah. Well, that's again, that the creativity goes so far with the friendship and the pissed, but again, the nicknames are not a hit segment for Paul. And so that's where we really started this. On the show, it made it seem like that Paulie had this conversation where it was like Paulie came out and then basically gave the marching orders to his side of the house of like, okay, the next move is we got to take out Vic and we got to take out James. That's the move. And Paul didn't say, you know what, Paulie, go, you know, up yours, buddy. To stop. What makes you think I'm even still working with you? And because of that, it made it seem like that Nicole was able to play that off to Natalie that they were coming for James.
Yeah, it wasn't really the thing that turned Natalie. The thing that turned Natalie was this idea that Paul had told Paulie that Natalie and James were going to go after Corey and Nicole. She never really believed that Paul was going to go after her directly, but she thought that Paul was kind of being a little sketchy, playing the middle too much, wasn't fully invested in their alliance. I don't know why they decided to go with this sort of tact instead. Maybe it was simpler to explain. But yeah, like I said, they got the main gist of it. Like Paulie was kind of the cause, then Nicole kind of, you know, stepped in and did the actual flipping, but the details were a little muddy.
Okay. But now, to be fair, now, wasn't it actually the case that Victor and Paul are coming for James and Natalie?
They were not planning on it in the time within this episode. They genuinely were going to go after Corey and Nicole this week, and they didn't have plans, like definitive plans to go after Natalie and James the week after at the moment. They had talked about reeling Nicole in and then maybe taking a shot, but they were fairly dedicated to this whole, idea of working with Natalie.
Mike, where do you stand on all of this? Do you have a rooting interest in the people that are left on the board here in Big Brother 18?
It's a very, very good question. I mean, I would say that a couple of weeks ago, one of my disinterests in the season was the fact that I was disinterested in a lot of these people, returnees included. It didn't feel like there was really anybody to really put your interest behind. I will say I've come around on Paul a little bit. I have a very like love hate toward affair with Paul, in that I completely think that he's the best thing that's happened to the show this season. But on the other hand, it seems like he gleaned the English language by being like an alien who landed on Earth and learned English through watching
like Alf. Is this the summer of Alf?
Yeah, exactly. And he learned English by watching like those 90s skateboarding films to learn like, okay, this is how I need to dress and this is how I need to speak. These are what the humans do. This is how I must assimilate myself into the culture. So I think that
you're saying he's a real life Kyle Mooney video.
Exactly. Or if you ever saw like Earth Girls Are Easy, they watch like the Jerry Lewis videos to try to act more human like. It feels like Paul is an amalgamation of what was it? It was a Wayans brother and Jeff Goldblum and Jim Carrey in that film.
Yeah. All right. So I know a lot of people are probably pumped up that Natalie, she ends up winning this HOH, Taryn, a hard fought HOH for Natalie. And now she really is making some moves in the house. But does it sort of take any of the wind out of the sails for the Natalie fans that it looks like to do this, that Natalie and James are going to team up with Nicori?
Oh, absolutely. They have kind of plummeted in the fan,
Are you serious?
Yeah. This is not a popular move by any means, even though it kind of is the right move to make. Very, very unpopular. I'm looking at the Joker's ratings right now, and Natalie went from number one. She's now down to number five, and James is all the way down at number nine, where they were previously.
But Nicole is really just getting on my nerves a lot right now on the show. I mean, Taryn, tell me, am I being unfair? Has Nicole done a good job here in the immediate fallout of Paulie going out of the house?
I mean, yeah, like what she did to flip Natalie was well done. And, that shouldn't go unnoticed. I don't think that she's been playing the strongest game up to this point. I don't think that she will continue to play a particularly strong game, especially if Corey remains in the house. But, you can't take away the fact that this was a decent job. She flipped Natalie and she really shouldn't have been able to some extent, especially that quickly.
Mike, where do you stand on Nicole?
Nicole is, I'm trying to figure out whether or not she's done better or worse than her first time. I feel like the first time
she's going to end up finishing better.
Unless she goes out, if she goes out next week with the returnee, she's still at seventh, mm-hmm. right? She finishes exactly where she started. But I feel like she's done a better job of at least ingratiating herself more. Whereas whether it was because of the circumstances of Big Brother 16, she was definitely out there in the open once Jocasta and Hayden left. And so she was sort of a dead girl walking. Here, even in a situation when she thought she was kind of able to put herself sufficiently in a good spot. But that being said, I don't know. I did think she was probably a little more adorable and a little more likable in season 16. Maybe it's the edit. Maybe it's just because of the circumstances. Through returning players, you find out sometimes that some people are just more likable when they're underdogs, whereas when they're in power, they're really less rootable. But I was trying to figure out what they were doing with her with this nail polish segment this episode. I don't want to read into the edit too much, but I don't know if that was a dodo edit. The best part about that segment was like, so you have Nicole just being a basic klutz, right? She's spilling everything all over this ottoman. And then you cut to the DR and you remember in her subtitle that she's an ER nurse. And I personally would not want somebody with like the shakiest hands ever, Mr. Beaning their way through a heart surgery.
Yeah. Nicole's hands are such a topic on this podcast lately. It's really becoming a thing.
Holy crap.
Holy crap, I can't believe that me and Corey are safe again off the block. It's just really getting, it's tough. It's tough to get through. And I'm not sure, other than anything from Big Brother 16, what the appeal is with Nicole, the Nicole fandom.
Well, I mean, Nicole was a very rarely seen archetype probably up until this point. She's a female nerdy super fan. And I feel like CBS reality, I don't want to shoehorn them into one category, but they seem to cast for the beach bods. You know, they seem to cast for the women that will be attractive and won't necessarily have a great game sense. Am I saying Nicole has a great game sense? No, but she's at least a little different. But now that we have Meesh as well, maybe we'll see that Nicole is kind of ushering in a new era of casting female nerds on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taryn, I think for me, the biggest thing that's annoying with Nicole is that she's just lugging around this vestigial Corey everywhere around the house. And it's really like Weekend at Bernie's, just lugging this guy. He's hot, so keep him safe every week. He'll be fine. Like, don't, me and Corey. And I mean, Corey is absolutely the biggest piece of dead weight on the entire show.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think that by far is, you know, the reason that she's getting so much flack this season. I think that this whole thing with Corey and the way that she treats him, the way that she talks about him, the way that she talks to him, like every single bit of it, it will just, like, if you listen to it too long, it makes you want to gag. Like it's just absurd. I think that her appeal is that, you know, she has this kind of like cute demeanor and voice and way of speaking. And she has these kind of funny moments like the klutzy segment that they can show and have like a little funny thing. And that's why I think that a lot of the casual viewers like her and gave her that care package, because that she fills that role. And I think that's why they like her, especially when she was an underdog. But yeah, this whole thing with Corey just like completely takes away like everything that you could ever want from her, and then, and even more.
Yeah.
So the question is then, do you think that we are seeing what Nicole and Hayden could have been had they lasted for longer in the game? Because again, I think one of the advantages of Nicole and BB 16 was that her showmans exited a few rounds before she did. So we were able to see her exist kind of autonomously.
But Hayden was likable at least.
Yeah, that's true. Hayden did have a little bit more of a personality than Corey did, and probably a better track record when it comes to, animal humanity. But I just wonder, you know, are we just seeing like this is Nicole kind of wifed up, if this is her general demeanor, and if we kind of missed out on it in Big Brother 16 because her showmans was clipped so early on?
Mm-hmm. I feel like almost that, Taryn, can Big Brother ever give us a showmans that, like, can a man and a woman, and maybe you find the example, can a man and a woman ever be together in the Big Brother house? And it's just like they have like only one way they can edit the story of that the woman is like a ditz and the guy is sort of like a knight in shining armor who will do anything for her. Is there any other type of relationship that can exist in the TV show Big Brother?
Oh, are you saying, are there examples of something that wasn't that?
I'd love to get one if you have one.
Well, I think that the Rachel and Brendan relationship was.
But I think they did. That Rachel got at times a bit of a, you know, they played into her character at times.
Right, but
certainly,
I think that Brendan was the one that was, you know, bending over backwards to try to please her, you know, every whim.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
But like, that's honestly like why does they have to, every Big Brother relationship have to be about a goofy girl and a guy who is just like head over heels for her?
Well, what about Drew and Diane? That's probably,
I mean, what is that, like 13 years ago, Mike?
Well,
Don't give me Big Brother Canada. Yeah.
Non-canon. That's non-canon.
I think it's the opposite here, where Nicole is head over heels for Corey, and that's sort of why it's so gross, because Corey is just so bland. It's like, you know, at least if Corey was something, if he was somebody like Hayden, you know, it would be like, oh, you know, he deserves this kind of adoration. You know, he respects Nicole and he likes Nicole back, and he's doing fun things and he's being a fun character. But with Corey, it's just like, what do you see in this guy beyond his look?
He's a zero.
And the edit between the two showmances was really interesting as well, because in Big Brother 16, it's kind of this cute romantic comedy-esque storyline of Hayden being like, I'm going to get you, Nicole. I'm going to get you to fall in love with me. And so we sort of track that relationship. Big Brother 18 was her just saying, this guy is a tall drink of water. Let me sleep in his bed. So mm-hmm. like, it's basically night and day in terms of showing these relationships.
Yeah. And he doesn't ever claim to like her more than a friend in any of these diary rooms that we see on the show. I don't know what he's sort of like trying to protect, if he has like somebody at home or what the deal is that he's trying to pull off. But who knows? He doesn't want to, you know, his dog at home to get jealous of that he made a new friend in the house. But Amanda and McCray, people are saying in the chat room that was a good example. And that is fair. That is a fair counterpoint, but it just seems like that there's only one way. It'd be nice if we ever had a season. I mean, maybe this is the thing where any sort of like well-rounded people wouldn't ever have a relationship in the Big Brother house. That's maybe why we don't see it.
We saw the beginning of Danny and Dom, right? That was pretty nice.
Yep, sure. I mean, that seems somewhat normal and not so much like, goofballs ending up together. But that's what Big Brother wants to give us, and that's how it is. All right, so let's get back to sort of talking through the game talk. So, Taryn, we ended up with this co-HOH with Natalie having part of it and then Meech getting this care package from America. Boy, didn't Natalie seem pretty excited for somebody who was losing half of their power of the HOH?
It felt to me like I don't know how to put what my face should be doing right now. So I'm just going to like continue to be super excited until I figure out what's going on, and then I can figure out like what I'm going to do. It felt very much just like, this is awesome. Totally. Yeah, definitely.
All right. How about a conspiracy theory? Do the house guests feel like that they have to applaud whatever America's decision was, even if they're like WTF?
Absolutely. They saw the friendship, not the Paul version. They saw, or at least maybe a couple of them did. You see what happens when you sort of decry America as making the wrong decisions. And especially considering that you have things literally flown in every week by America. I feel like playing to the good side of the fan community in general has become more paramount than ever in the Big Brother house.
Taryn, is it possible that Natalie was one step ahead of James on the idea that if Meech comes up to the HOH room, that James would not get to share the HOH bed? Was Natalie sort of like, was that what she was cheering about? The idea that James was being kicked out of the HOH room?
Maybe, yeah, you know.
Like, oh, damn, I was that close. Natalie really blocked me on that one. Meech, America blocked me.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is something that, like, I think we were just talking about on the Ninja Warrior podcast, where it's like, there are athletes that are waiting for the last athlete to go to see if they're going to, like, get kicked off the show, essentially. And the camera's just focused on their face, and they know that. And so it's just like, how am I supposed to react here? I'm happy that they just failed, but I don't want to look like a jerk. So, like, what is my face going to be? And I feel like that's where Natalie was in that.
All right. So we had the two showmances of Corey and Nicole teaming up with James and Natalie. And we had that plan starting to come together. We have to go after Victor and we have to go after Paul. We saw where both Victor and Paul seemed to be sort of like they could sense that this was coming. Mike, what did you think of Victor and Paul having sort of the conversation, you know, getting ready for bed, like almost like Bert and Ernie talking to each other before they go to bed? Like, bro, are we getting boned? Like, yep, that appears to be the case. All right. Good night.
Yeah, I think Paul is probably Ernie in that case, right? Because with his floaty, it seems like he'd want to sing to his rubber ducky
all the time. They're sitting duckies, you're the one. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of I wouldn't call it a straightforward episode because obviously this is a little bit of a twist than the outcome we initially expected at the end of last week. But that being said, they knew that they were kind of lambs to the slaughter. It's just like you were talking about before, Taryn, that I think these guys, after getting rid of Paulie, and sort of while they were getting rid of Paulie, kind of realized that they were going to be the next head honchos when it comes to competition wins. And even though Victor touts that as, you know, a big belt around his waist, eventually that belt's going to be coveted by other people, especially when they outnumber them. They have to realize that their heads are next. So even though we get all these confessionals from Paul being like, great, Corey wins, I'm boned, Natalie wins, I'm great, I'm assuming they had to have at least some sort of modicum in their head that we are definitely in danger if we ourselves are not in power.
Okay. Now, Taryn, was that canon how the show depicted that, where it's like, are we getting boned? Yep. All right. Good night. Or did they actually try to do something about it?
That was basically it. You know, they talked about it and they were like, oh, that didn't feel right. And then Victor tried talking to them a few times and Victor came back saying like, man, this really isn't feeling right. Paul came up to Natalie and said a few times, like, hey, we're still good, right? Like, we're still good. I'm not going to bother you, but we're still good, right? And she's like, why do you keep asking me? And so they really just backed off, even though they had a really bad feeling about it. And, you know, ultimately, I feel like that was a large part of the reason why they ended up nominated, because they really didn't even put up much of a fight.
Okay. Victor claims to have 8 competition wins. Just to sort of talk that through, he didn't count winning the big screen TV as one of the comp wins, did he?
Well, didn't Paulie win it? That's why.
I'm not sure. So he won the 3 battle back competitions. He won HOH,
yeah, which don't count.
HOH twice. Did he win 2 vetoes?
He won a roadkill.
A roadkill, a veto, and then did he win on Sitting on the Rocket? Was he on the winning team for that?
He was the one who won it for James.
Okay, so that's your 8. So he did not count winning the TV for his 8 competition wins there. Okay, so then Meech, after she gets the care package, then it comes to light. Natalie puts the bug in her ear, and Taryn, again, stop me if this is not as it was depicted on the show, that Natalie puts the bug in her ear, like, hey, did you know that that Paul knew about Davon when she ended up going home? And that's why he needs to go out, even though Meech wanted to target Nicole, and she ends up getting talked into Paul. Was that canon?
Yeah. Now, Michelle was very set on, you know, wanting Nicole out, but, you know, Natalie had not even a very long conversation with her where she basically just railroaded anything that Michelle had to say about it. And Michelle just completely folded to this idea that, yeah, okay, we'll take out Paul.
Mike, from your perspective, if you were Meech, and again, you don't know somebody else coming back into the house, but you were with these 3 pairs in the house, I mean, which set of 2 would you most want to be aligned with?
Well, I guess you have to look at later in the game, because this, like, last third of the game is going to be super competition heavy, where it's sort of a crapshoot where you're actually involved in the house. You kind of have to win your way out if you want to make your way to at least be able to grasp that $500,000. And I mean, these 2 guys have shown much more competition prowess than Nicole, who got an HOH handed to her by request, and Corey, who won an HOH and a veto, but those were, you know, super quick double eviction comps that aren't really compared to the longer term comps that exist at the end of the game. So just purely on paper, I feel like you would want to go with them. Plus, I mean, looking at this pair, if you go to the end with them, yes, they'll have Paulie's vote, but looking at those first 3 jurors, I don't know how many of them are such big fans of Nicori that they would want to vote them over you.
Taryn, you've seen this play out so many times between 16 prior U.S. seasons in this format, 4 Big Brother Canada seasons at this point. Do you think if you're Meech, are you better off to align with the pair that you think you could best beat in competitions, or the pair that you think might be most disloyal to each other heading to the final 2? John Party who will take somebody else to the end instead of Netta.
Right, but if you are Sabrina, it doesn't matter that John Party takes you to the end, because you're still not going to win against either John or Netta. So it really depends on, you know, if you can beat them. In Michelle's case, it's a tricky situation. And, you know, really what you want to do as this lone person is to stay out of power as much as possible. You don't want to be the person targeting anyone in particular. You want to just be sitting on the sidelines while everyone else takes each other out, and do your best to, like, if you do go with somebody like Nicole and Corey, make sure you don't paint them as the power players down the stretch, because that might get them the votes that you thought they didn't have. So it is a tricky line to play, but ideally you're just staying out of power entirely. If you're in this situation where it's thrust upon you by America, I think that she's right to say, to talk to Natalie and to come up with a plan and essentially have Natalie be the person that takes the bulk of the heat for what she's going to do.
Now, that all sounds well and good if you're Will Kirby and you can say, like, hey, I did this and get to the end, especially against somebody who's unlikable. But if you're Big Meech in Big Brother 2016, doesn't she need to display that she has at least had some competition wins and some agency in how this outcome, the game is going to go, Taryn?
I mean, like, yes, I do. But I think that what she has been doing, and I don't think it's been intentional, but with the speeches and taking credit for things when she shouldn't even, like, it wasn't even her that did it. Those are the kinds of things that she can be doing to kind of increase her agency with, or her perceived agency with the jury. We saw the jury cheering her on when she calls out Nicole, and, you know, she talks about, you know, blowing up Polly's game. That's the kind of stuff that I think is good for her, you know, equity in the jury as far as that goes.
Okay.
I think it's tough. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword, because while you do have Will Kirby on one hand, you have Godfrey Manguiza on the other hand. And I apologize for addressing non-canon Big Brother, Rob, but you sort of get to see the double-edged sword that comes with playing more in the shadows. Yes, calling out people is a great move to kind of make yourself be known without actually utilizing that power. But at the end, it depends on who she's sitting next to. Can they point at her and say, you talked a lot of game, but you didn't really do anything? It's possible at the moment.
And like, really, like, Godfrey's biggest mistake is just taking Sarah instead of the person that he can beat. Like, he just had a miscalculation with who he can beat. And that's why I think that it's important for Michelle to understand, you know, who can I beat of these remaining people? And I think that, you know, she's so set on taking Nicole out of the game that she's maybe not looking at the fact that Nicole's probably one of the best people to take to the final two with her, because I think that Michelle probably has a decent chance of beating Nicole.
Now, during the Natalie HOH, in this episode, we didn't see a ton of stuff about what James wanted to do during this run. We saw them a couple times together with Nicole talking to them. How big of a factor was James in Natalie's decision making?
He was a big factor. It was largely her decision. But the thing is that James has always had a very tight connection with both Corey and Nicole for a long time in the game. And that's why it was such a mistake to kind of let this go unchecked by Paul last week in just like blindly taking out Polly and letting Corey and Nicole remain in the game when they have this tight connection with James. James has been predisposed to wanting to work with them because he's so close with them. He's closer with them than he is with Paul and Victor, and they're less threatening. So James was all on board with this idea. He was basically looking for any excuse to say, all right, let's work with Corey and Nicole then.
So they're heeding Rachel Riley's advice of the vets working together then?
Yeah, definitely, in a sense. I mean, I think it's more about the relationship that he has with them, but they have been talking about, like, hey, isn't it crazy that, like, we're two vets and we've gotten this far? Like we're glad we got rid of those other two crazies because they would have made everything harder, but, like, now we're together.
Right. And Mike, as a person in a married relationship, don't you want to hang out with other couples?
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely the best. Other married couples talk about things like, where are you planning to go for your anniversary? It's stimulating conversation.
Yeah, I think that's probably the thought process. All right. I want to start to open it up to questions here in a bit. Taryn, just from a gameplay perspective, did you like what Meech did with her nomination to go with Natalie and James and by proxy, Nicole and Corey against Victor and Paul, who she had been closer with prior to this week?
I mean, to some extent, it's like Michelle's not really even making moves strategically. You know, she's just kind of like, she was doing what Natalie wanted. And so it's hard to say that I like the move, because like the way that she implemented it wasn't particularly good. You know, this should give her a lot of credit with people like Corey and Nicole. But again, like the way she did it, she didn't get any of that credit. So I think ultimately, probably the right thing to do, because again, it leaves a lot of the heat on Natalie, but the way that she went about it was just, it ruined all of the benefits that it could have given her.
Mike, what did you think about that from Meech's perspective? Do you feel like that she is sort of like just in this to make the splashy move?
Yeah, I was really confused with her tonight with her adamance of not putting up Victor, because I feel like either way, these guys are going to see this move as a combined front from the two of them. This is not like a Jason Janelle in All-Stars type of thing where they're not going to talk to each other and they're going to have to forcibly come to an outcome. It seems like they're pretty much conspiring from the get-go. So I don't know why Michelle felt like she really could not nominate Victor, especially since I believe Victor nominated her his first HOH week, did he not? So she could very easily use that as a BS reason to say, look, turnabout's fair play, buddy.
Yeah, Taryn, just to look at this in terms of a final seven, here you have Michelle, who's in this position of power. And while she might be blocked by, and not like how James got blocked, but she might be blocked by Paul and Victor towards getting to the final two, doesn't she have a straight shot to the final three with those guys, where to go with the couples? Doesn't it seem as though that she's going to be at best in fifth place? Or do you feel like that when she gets to fifth benefit than the other couples will fight over her. How strong is that final four deal between the couples?
It's somewhat strong. You know, James and Natalie have talked about, like, even though we've made this four, we would still rather have Michelle, you know, in the final three with us than both Corey and Nicole. So, you know, she's still in a relatively good spot, but it would be better if it was Victor and Paul and Natalie and James, because then I think both sides would be fighting over her. Whereas with Nicole and Corey, I don't think that they are definitely not fond of Michelle. And I think that they might, just out of spite, say, we don't want Michelle here. We would rather take a couple.
Okay. All right. Let's dive into some of these questions, and then we'll talk about the action from the feeds. This is from Jeffrey Taliaferro. Did anyone see if Paul lost his shoe during the HOH competition? I'm not sure if you mentioned it. Oh, my shoe is gone. It's stuck. I'm boned. No shoe.
You didn't lose a shoe? Oh my God. There's so many shoes.
Yeah. Taryn, did that competition work for you?
You know, at first it didn't, because it was really just like difficult to sort of see what was happening. But I felt like by the end of it, I was kind of into it. I liked the vibe of it. It was, you know, it's very different. It's something that's, you know, just like it's shaking up, you know, the typical formula to some extent. So I kind of liked it. Yeah, even though, like, my problem with it was that we couldn't tell what was happening in any of the parts other than like when they're holding onto the butt.
Mike, how about you?
I was happy they were able to reutilize some props from Sex Box, so that project didn't completely fall through. They're like, all right, let's just get it. We'll Lysol it all and then put all this goopy stuff in. This was a weird one. I agree with Taryn.
Wait,
that
was that Sex Box or Big Brother?
A little column A, a little column B. I'm happy that they sort of changed up the formula, and they like the running challenge from last season that they reused this season is like a good example of them just like using really simple games. I feel like Miles Nye could go into the Raffer lot and just pitch a bunch of these really simple games. That being said, it did look gross. I wasn't sure what the jigsaw voice that they were using, and Nicole getting poop all over her back apparently. So we didn't. They
holy
emphasize on the
crap.
There was a lot of holy crap in the box apparently.
Oh.
But I did think I think Natalie got very lucky that she beat Corey by those 4 seconds, because otherwise he pretty much broke this challenge, right, by being able to use his Mr. Fantastic like arms to just reach behind him and grab those discs so easily.
Yeah, all I needed to do was like grab a bunch of those things and throw them toward the button, and then just he could pick them up afterward, right? Yeah.
Corey was made to be grabbing discs left and right. That is right in his wheelhouse, Corey.
He's bred for it.
Just grabbing one disc after another.
No, I really loved watching James like swipe at the button like every single time. He was just like, oh, what? Just, like trying to hit the button, and then finally he slips and fails to hit the button. I thought it was just a perfect like little arc in the whole competition.
Yeah.
Maybe this was canonically, maybe they were going inside the toilet in Uncle Austin's trailer.
Is that what this was? It was a concept trailer.
Like Magic School Bus shrunk themselves down and went inside the toilet.
Yeah.
They heard our message that we said they could do better, and they were like, here we go. We're going deeper.
It's the inner space of Uncle Austin's trailer. All right. Let's go to Spanky Hot Dog. How many times do you think that they showed Paulie's picture on the memory wall tonight? Taryn, are they just getting us ready for Paulie to come back?
I guess so. I mean, like that we saw Paulie, you know, in action. We saw some pictures of Paulie, you know, despite the fact that they eliminated him from the entire, maybe they were just feeling bad about the whole Ziggy Marley episode where they completely edited him out of the entire thing.
No matter what you do, I'm always gonna come back. And I don't know, you know, we could do better. We could do better than the Uncle Austin joke.
That,
where I was
that metaphor
go.
Flew away like a butterfly.
Yeah. Mike, do you have any thoughts on Paulie that we didn't get a chance to ask you about him during his time in the house?
God, what an ass rat. This guy is...
ass rat?
I don't know. He's a rat that crawled out of an ass that you find at a gas station. I don't know. I liked him in the beginning. I thought he was fine, but I think, you know, I think we talk about on these reality shows that even though these shows are kind of pressure cookers, as much as you try to put up a front, your true colors kind of show. I don't want to throw too much shade at Paulie, but I do kind of feel like we got to see a little bit of his true self, especially when he doesn't get his way. It was glorious to see his falling out the past week. But that being said, I am not going to buy a beer for him any day of the week.
Okay. All right. Well, that's your tri-state neighbor, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of tri-state people I wish I could say we're not affiliated at the moment. So I guess we'll add Pauly to that growing list.
Yes. All right. This is from Jaris Layad, who said, did they end the round trip ticket twist 1 week too soon? Well, that we will discuss. I mean, that whoever goes out on Thursday is going to have a chance to come back into the game. So it's not really fair to have two chances for whoever goes out on Thursday to get a round trip ticket. And then also, but I guess the first four people did. Yeah. So then you know what? Then it's fair. Then they should have kept it going another week.
Yeah. It was weird timing considering, like, you know, they start, it was, you know, five evictions that there were round trip tickets for. And there will be five people competing to come back into the house, but they started it just like a week early. I guess they didn't want Frank to be like just like totally, you know, boned entirely, right? Where like he just misses the battle back and then also misses the round trip and the second battle back. So.
I just got real boned this season. That's all I could say about it. I just got real boned.
Yeah, Frank's the guy that like keeps missing the bus that he the bus stops at the station. He misses his first stop and then he like gets an ice cream cone and comes back and the bus already left. So he has a lot of bad luck this season for a guy who had an insurmountable amount of luck in his first season. So
I guess karma. It all works out. All right. My City says, is it smart for Meech to keep calling out house guests that she may need to align with next week? Taryn, is Meech just like Teflon Meech? Does anything stick to her besides the goo that was in the black box?
No, nothing sticks. It's like she doesn't think about things very much. She just kind of like just does things. And it's been working out for her, to be fair. You know, like even though she's calling people out, I do think that if it comes down to it, people will still be willing to work with her just because she's so, you know, Meech, right? Like they're going to be like, well,
that's
we can use Meech.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Paul says, should the nominations have been Victor for Natalie's nom and Nicole or Corey for Meech's nom instead of Paul? But I mean, I think the HOH is probably wanted to have some sort of a united front, Taryn.
Yeah, they were concerned that, you know, Victor is the most likely person to win the veto and they don't want Victor taking Paul down or vice versa. They don't want both of those people to be safe and then not have the choice of which pair to, you know, take a shot at.
Okay, let's do one more question and then we'll talk live feeds. Wesley Lester, do you think that they would hesitate sending Victor home if they knew there was a jury buyback? Let's wait a little bit and talk about potential ramifications of this week's eviction when we get to the spoilers and whatnot. But Taryn, can you answer that? Do the house guests suspect somebody could be coming back into the house? Is that something that's even on their radar?
For the most part, no. Pauly was very suspicious that it was going to happen, but after he left, it kind of it went away from their mouths. But they have been talking about it somewhat recently, in the sense that like, oh, it could be happening. But a lot of it's just been like dismissed as, oh, well, probably not. Though they wouldn't do that. Not two bad. Not two of them.
Probably not.
Maybe like a reset week, but not two buybacks. That would just be ridiculous.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get into the live feeds here. So if you are just listening to the TV show part of the podcast, we will see you on Wednesday night. Andy Herron will join us to talk about Wednesday night's episode. So very excited to have Andy back on the live show.
The ass rat floater.
Yes, the ass rat gas station floater will be joining us here on Wednesday night to talk through everything. Also, very excited to get into Australian Survivor Know-It-Alls is coming tomorrow. Stephen Fishback and I are going to do a live show to talk about Australian Survivor tomorrow night. We're going to shoot for 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for that. And of course, you can listen to the podcast after the fact. So looking forward to getting into that. All right. So what do you say? Let's talk spoilers here for this week in Big Brother.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Hold on. This is stuck to my hand. This is
you're gonna need tissues for
that
one.
Everything is sticky.
Rob, stop grabbing discs and you can get the goo off your hand.
Okay, good, good. I got it now. All right. So let's talk spoilers from the weekend. And Taryn, we talked about everything's not going to be all right. Everything's not going to be all right. But come veto time, at least from Paul's perspective, things turned out to be more friendship than piss, no?
Yeah, friendship for sure.
Friendship.
Paul wins the veto. He studied like a madman.
What was the comp?
It was one of those ones where they keep them up all night displaying different messages. This one was weather alerts about past house guests. And, you know, Paul had this idea, I guess, before I get into that. But, like, okay, I need to tell the whole story because it doesn't make sense that Paul has everybody on board at this point. Immediately following the nominations, Paul questions Natalie and Michelle, like, Why are you doing this? Why am I on the block? Why am I a liar? Like, what happened here? And they had a long conversation where Paul essentially flips them back over. By the end of the conversation, he had Natalie crying, saying she regretted her decision and that she wanted to get Corey and Nicole out instead of him. And so he's feeling, you know, pretty good at this point.
Holy crap!
Yeah, right? Like, it was fairly impressive here. And then these messages come up. And so he's like, perfect. We can all study together. And then we can dominate this veto. But in the course of doing this, he pisses Natalie off again because he's so overbearing and forceful and telling her what to do to study for this veto and saying, oh, we should go sabotage Nicole and Corey. She was just like, whoa, hold on. This is too much. You're getting really annoying. Despite that, though, he did study enough to win the veto. So he does save himself, but may end up dooming Vic in the process.
All right. So let's talk this through in a bunch of parts. First, Taryn, this competition with the weather reports, I know we've done it in the past where, oh, there's a UFO sighting. Isn't this typically an HOH competition?
Yeah, I think it's usually the overnight thing is, I mean, I think they've probably done it for both, but they switch those around sometimes. And I think they've done that this season too.
Okay. So, Mike, with the possibility that Paul is going to be staying in the house this week, this sets up a very delicious scenario of Victor coming out of the house on Thursday night and potentially coming right back in, becoming the first Big Brother player in history to be voted out two different times in this, and potentially three times in the same season. Are you excited for Victor to pull off the Aussie?
Yeah, it's so delicious that it's a meal you want to eat and then upchuck so you'll be able to eat it again.
Yes.
That's how delicious it is. Yeah, I mean, Victor, I'll admit, has grown on me, specifically Baldwin the Eagle antics and, you know, him being the major force behind getting rid of Paulie the past couple weeks. I'm personally not happy that we have to do a second buyback, but I guess if we have to, I guess for the lulls, it'd be funny if Victor came back just because I think people would have vested interest in Davon. But the interesting thing is that everyone's saying like, oh, yeah, Victor's coming back. But if we get shuffleboard redo, like I do not think there's a chance that Victor could come back over any sort of other random house guest.
Taryn, do you think that it helps or hurts Victor's chances to win the game, to be voted out and come back in for a second time? Because in a strange way, I kind of feel like that him getting voted out and coming back, winning his way back in two times helps his case more so than just doing it once.
It honestly might, just because like his entire like identity is focused around competition wins.
Yeah.
And if he just, because like that's his only note. And if he had made it to the end without getting voted out twice and coming back in twice, that note might, you know, go sour. People might not respond to it well. But if he like really backs it up and he's like, you've tried to vote me out twice and I just kept coming back and you couldn't get rid of me, I kept winning. They might just be like, listen, you basically Mike Holloway'd it. You know, we have to give this to you.
Yeah, that would be pretty impressive. A real Beric Dondarrion, Mike.
Absolutely. The Grodner Lord of Light. We'll see him through.
Lord of Light, yes. We'll see him through. All right, so let's talk about plans for the renomination. So technically, whose nomination was Paul? Was Natalie? Oh, no, it was Meech.
Yeah, Michelle nominated Paul. So Michelle will be doing the renomination, and she really wants to again nominate Nicole so that they can get Nicole out. But
holy crap!
Yeah. Paul is pushing back on that hard. Paul is saying, Nicole is such a waste. You know, Corey is a much better competitor. Plus, Nicole has already got the care package, whereas Corey can get it. If we take Corey out, it guarantees either Victor or I will get the care package. So it makes sense to take Corey out over Nicole. Little does he know, neither of them will be going home because James and Natalie, again, want to be taking out Victor instead of either Nicole or Corey.
All right, well, this sets up a very interesting scenario with the votes now because Meech is the co-HOH. She does not get to vote here. So now only three votes that we have. Paul, who will vote. He will vote to evict Corey, if he's there. Nicole will vote. She will vote to evict Paul. James becomes the one and only swing vote this week, and the whole world, the whole Big Brother world, is in James's hands, Mike.
James's ants laden hands. They will determine the future of this season.
Yeah. If you thought the ants were bad before, wait till see if we cover the house in sticky goo. Could be like an ant trap.
I do actually kind of want Corey to get the last care package because could you imagine if you gave Corey $5,000 to bribe? He end up like trying to bribe Mr. Jenkins to get to last later in the game.
Like, you could get the money, it's like a Christmas present or something or something. Like, what? What are you talking about?
He's Big Brother Boomhauer.
Corey would be like, all right, guys, let's just split the money. Like that seems fair, right? Like,
but then he would literally rip the dollar bills in half. And
yeah,
you said you wanted to split the money, right?
Okay, Taryn. Now I've been seeing a lot on Twitter and certainly on the Big Brother Reddit about some talk about Nicole and James are conspiring to split the prize money. Can you speak to this scandal?
Yeah, it's a big conspiracy. You know, James and Nicole were talking earlier today. And James was just like, yeah, if I won, I'd send, you know, I'd send my friends some money. Like just, you know, right after I win, I'd go straight to the bank, order, you know, get some money orders, $10,000 to you, $10,000 to you, $10,000 to you. Basically like splitting it within this final four showman's alliance, which is obviously not allowed. And I'm sure he will, you know, be talked to. But, you know, again, like nothing particularly new, you know. Will talked about this on his season. You know, Vanessa talked about it on her season. It's something that comes up relatively often.
Okay. Should they be both evicted this week for talking about this, Taryn?
Oh, yeah. Up in arms. Pitchforks. Evict them.
Somebody send me the link to the change.org page. I'll put my signature on it.
I'll put that promptly in my recycle bin.
Not to mention that the diary room is influencing the entire game and causing things to happen that we don't like. So, yeah, go after them.
And there was a second man on the grassy knoll. Of yeah. course.
That was a great callback to, I believe that was an Ian Terry line of these change.org petitions go directly into Allison Grodner's recycle bin. All right. Sesson 100 says, if Victor gets evicted from the house and Paulie returns from the buyback, do you see him and Paul reuniting for their PP alliance? Boy, Taryn, could PP come back also?
I genuinely think it could.
All right.
We got rid of a V, and now another P comes in.
Friendship times. Ratings are down. We need to recast. We're bringing PP back. Yeah.
PP tested really well with males 18 to 49.
Yeah.
What could happen is, you know, obviously Polly's going to go back with Nicole and Corey, but you know, if one of them win HOH, which they likely will because Michelle can't play because she was co-HOH. And obviously if Victor is gone, that leaves only, you know, Paul to sort of like keep that from them or even potentially James. But I could absolutely see Paul running back to Paulie saying, oh, my God, what a mistake I made. I trusted the wrong people. James is such a snake. We need to team up together and go
total
after
total friendship. Friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'll be like, you know, you, me, Nicole and Corey will team up. We'll be a foursome, you know, friendship all the way. And Paulie might be like, hey, I'll take you in. You have nobody else. I'll go after James instead.
Mike, can we task Shut Up Tim on working on the Bringing Pee-Pee Back song for Friday night?
Yeah, you want an R. Kelly song? Is that what you want?
No. Holy crap. Jeffrey Talifiero says, shouldn't Meech be more than willing to put up Paul and Victor? She would become the fifth wheel in both showmances. Yeah, it really seems like she could end up... It just depends on how committed the showmances are to each of them. I mean, at the point, Taryn, where James is talking about giving money to Nicole and vice versa, like, don't you feel like that this foursome feels like it might hold? Like, hey, we're the showmances. We have to stick together.
I mean, maybe with James, but it seems very unlikely. You know, at Final Five, if they have the option to take out a pair or Michelle, they're almost definitely going to take out one of the members of a pair. It's just, it's such a bad move to not do that. It's hard to imagine even somebody like James making that kind of move.
Well, Taryn, just to be fair, I've read online where some people have said that James has been actually playing one of the better games this season. Could you speak to James's game as a whole, and what are the chances of James being but 30 days away from winning $500,000?
I mean, we talked about it a lot in the beginning of the season that he was doing relatively well just by being James, and that's continued to kind of serve him well. And at this point, he is, you know, a few weeks ago when Paulie was in the house and Natalie was sort of leading the charge against him, people were saying that Natalie is obviously the brains behind this operation. This week, it's kind of been James. James has been talking sense into Natalie, saying, listen, you know, This is the kind of correct decision to make at this point. And it really is. And he's talking a lot of sense. He has these relationships. He's made a lot of mistakes in the game, and he's continuing to make some mistakes. They are currently planning on leaving Michelle out of the loop when it comes to voting Victor out, which I think is a huge mistake, because I think that she can easily be roped in, despite the fact that she is fully on board with keeping them at this point. But he has done decently well considering the field, and I wouldn't surprise me if he made it to the end.
Okay.
Taryn, between James and Natalie final two, who's winning at this point?
It's tough. I think that it goes back and forth, because I think that, a couple of weeks ago, it was probably Natalie. Now it might be James. You know, if Nicole and Corey are in the jury and they don't feel scorned by James, they can probably talk, Paulie into voting James. Absolutely, Paulie voting James over Natalie. So that's three votes already. Natalie does have the girl power thing going. She'll have Bridget. But Devon will probably even go James. So I see James maybe beating her there.
I think so too. I think especially those guys are going to say, especially the Paulie-led contingent is going to say, James, I give you the money, because I think that Natalie is that she does. She's just in this for the money. She just wants to be friends with you. So I think that it's going to be a big win for James in the final two against Natalie.
Okay, so they're going to give it to the boob over the boobs.
How dare you, Mike? How dare you? Paul Rainey said, Natalie went from targeting Paulie and Corey and Nicole for personal reasons. Now she's aligned with Corey and Nicole. Emotional or smart game moves?
For Natalie, I think that this is, she was led by her emotions to some extent earlier in the week. You know, she got very mad at Paul because of the FT thing. And then she got mad at Corey because Paul revealed that Corey had said some things about her. So she was then mad at Corey. But then eventually James was kind of the person that said, like, listen, we need to take our feelings about them out of the equation and think strategically who is the best person to, or who are the best people to move forward with into next week. And now she's starting to think like, okay, yeah, that makes sense to me. And she's starting to, like, even though she's not a huge fan of Corey and she knows what Nicole has done in the past, she's like, all right, we'll buckle down. We'll work with them.
Okay. Let's take one from Sakishi, who says, do you think it's fair that Michelle cannot play in the next HOH? Mike, this was supposed to be a reward. Now she can't play in the HOH and she only got to nominate one person.
I mean, I guess, what do you want? Like her and Natalie to play together as a team? I guess it makes sense. If you have the power to nominate somebody, you shouldn't have to play in the next HOH. I guess it sort of makes sense.
No, I don't think it's fair, because she didn't win. Like, she might have thrown this HOH. I mean, she didn't, I don't think. But she could have been throwing this HOH. I mean, that she's aligned with Natalie and James. I mean, I don't think that this does her any good to be seen as a person that's America's favorite. And she can't play to protect herself next week, Taryn. I think that this is a net loss for Big Meech.
Yeah, and this is what happens when you introduce twists like this. You know, it could have massively benefited Paul or Victor had they gotten it, But instead, Michelle gets it, and I think it's a big detriment to her game. She shouldn't have had the power, and now she can't compete next week when it might be important for her to maybe have the power. So, it's
let
unfortunate
Meech
for her.
Play. Let Meech play.
I don't know how many echoes you're going to get to that sentiment.
Yes. Mike, add that to the change.org petition. That should be one of the, that's an addendum.
The recycle bin. Perfect. Thank you.
Surprised there's still room.
Bradley Michael says, since Paul hasn't gotten a care package yet, does he even have a chance at America's Favorite Player? I'd have to say that the odds are pretty slim. Friendship times notwithstanding, Mike, could America rally the support?
Yeah, I've been wondering about who AFP would be, because sometimes on these like vet newbie mix seasons, you have someone like Big Jeff who did not make a giant clown shoe size splash in Big Brother 13, but he's still won. And I wonder that if there might still be some support behind James Nation, that he would still get AFP no matter what. But I think Paul is probably the best chance of a newbie winning the prize.
No, I think that Natalie is the best chance for a newbie to win, Taryn.
Yeah, I think that Natalie is probably the front runner to win. And not only did she get the first care package, but I think that she's, you know, despite the fact that she's fallen this week in the Joker's polls, she's, I think, been like sort of like the main character on the show to some extent. And her relationship with James helps a lot, because I think that the viewers find this, you know, adorable. This is I kind of talked about this at the beginning of the season, where this is kind of like their mini Jeff and Jordan.
Well, hopefully this subject will be covered on an upcoming edition of the Friendship Times about Paul and his plummeting poll numbers in America's Favorite Player. Oh, yeah. Says who? The polls, Paul. Which one? Says who? Yes. All of the polls. Sorry.
it's so I'm like, and I'm sure we're wrong about this, because we've been wrong about everything so far. Like, but like, I personally don't understand why Paul is still so far down. I feel like he's.
Yeah.
Is it like, the beard, Mike? Is it the beard? Are people over the big, stupid beard?
They say hipsters are out. You know, clean cut people are in. That's why I am actually surprised, and I'm going to say proud of America, but I feel like for a nation that like voted a young guy to be America's Favorite Player the past like three or four seasons, to have the, you know, three out of the first four be all women, I feel like is very unexpected on America's part.
Yeah. I think that this is a interesting study. I think that I think it's the beard. I think that if Paul was in the house, Taryn, without the beard, I think that you'd be able to, and don't paint me as an anti-beardist, but I do think
this is extremely offensive.
That, no, I do think that the younger audience, I think that like teenage girls, I think would be more likely to embrace Paul as sort of like a Zach Rance type character, but I think that the beard is keeping that fan base away. They like a person who is does not look as like people want their beard guy to be like Donnie, not like a young hip guy.
I think you're right. I concur with that statement.
Yep. They want a non-threatening young charismatic wild card. No beard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And if it's a beard, if it's not a young guy, it's an old guy with a beard. That's basically like the two pieces of criteria it has to fit.
The audience can't wrap their head around young guy with a beard. They only like old. Oh, Rupert. OK, good. Donnie. Good. Young hip guy with a beard. Does not compute.
They see Paul's face and they're just like, why? I think we have a new change.org petition.
will Allison Grodner throw that one into the recycle bin? Mike's kicking.
I'm stomping down petitions right now to make room
for
her
beard.
All right, Matthew's son.
I'll have a sacrifice competition coming up where Paul has to save his beard, and then his poll numbers are going straight up, I promise.
Yes, I think so. I think like an Adam Pock type thing, right? Paul, if you had to win America's Favorite Player and shave your beard, or not win America's Favorite Player and keep the beard, what would you do?
I like how specific Jeff is getting with his questioning.
Oh! That, and for the record, that was a question going into the house. It's like, if you had to shave off the beard and lose, or if you had to keep the beard and win, or it's the other way around. But you know what I mean. You follow what I'm saying. Okay. Matthew says, if you guys had the power to replace all of the veterans with someone from their respective seasons, who would you replace? Oh, this is a very detailed question. Okay. So replace all the veterans with somebody from their original season. Mike. All right. Replace Frank with somebody else from Big Brother 14.
Replace Frank with Chef Joe.
Is the season better or worse, Taryn? We had Chef Joe instead of Frank.
Better.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn, replace, let's see, replace Nicole with somebody else from BB 16. Is it?
My brother, Cody.
No, I think Hayden.
And then we could switch out of the house like Liz and Julia. Don't call me thickums. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's grab Hayden instead.
Yeah, grab Hayden. Okay. That would definitely make it awkward with Nicole and Corey. Hayden and Corey, what if they hit it off also? That would be weird if they became good friends in the house too.
Very good friends.
Very, very good friends. And then who else we got? And then we got two people from Big Brother 17. Let's just say Steven, Johnny Mac, or anybody else from BB 17? You want Vanessa? You want her to come back?
Yeah, Johnny Mac and Vanessa, or you can throw Audrey in there if you want to.
Yeah, Coach Audrey. Okay. And then let's go Haiku Fishback. Last question. How do they not know someone else is coming back? Well, how many weeks are left? I mean, there's seven people in the house. There's a month left in the game. I don't think that seems that implausible to me.
Yeah. I mean, Nicole and James were just talking about it, you know, saying like maybe there's not going to be another double eviction and that's why, you know, there's not going to be another buyback, or like they're just kind of like, I think they're kind of like thinking hopefully, like wishful thinking here, like they really don't want a buyback. So they're thinking, oh, well, it wouldn't make sense to have two buybacks, maybe a reset, but. And it should be stated that while this decision is a good one for James and Natalie without the buyback, while you consider the buyback, it's actually potentially devastating for them. Because leaving Nicole and Corey in the house, if Pauly came back, then all of a sudden Pauly can gravitate toward them and Nicole and Hayden, or Nicole and Hayden, Nicole and Corey now have the power, like all the power in the house. And James and Natalie could be on the outs. If Victor comes back, then they're in the same position they were before, only without Victor and Paul's allegiance. So that's potentially very dangerous.
Natalie and Corey, good job with part one of my plan to get rid of Vic. And now it's time for part two, where we get rid of James.
This is all part of a master plan. I knew I was coming back.
I knew I was coming back.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah. What in the what? Oh, man. Yeah. And then I will keep Natalie in the house so she can't be with you in the jury house, James. And then I will keep her there until the finale.
Because she's a Jersey girl.
Because typical Jersey girl. All right. All right. Fun show. Fun recap. Taryn, what should we be watching for? Veto ceremony on Monday?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't expect there to be much happening. It's going to be potentially a blindside, you know, James doesn't like the blindside, but he will be keeping them in the dark. I imagine until right before the eviction.
Yeah. We didn't really talk about this from the Nicole and Corey perspective. So they don't know exactly that Corey is going to go up on the block. Like, what do they think is going to happen?
Oh, well, oh man, do you even want to get into that?
Because yeah, I mean,
the conversations have been, well, I would feel more comfortable if you're on the block, but I mean, I would go on for you. Like, I would give up my game for you, Corey.
But they know it's going to be one of the two.
Oh, yeah. They're the only two options.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like that she's trying to talk James into going up as a pawn or anything like that.
No.
James, could you go up on the block as a pawn so Corey doesn't have to go on the block?
Yeah, but they have faith in James, though, that he's not betraying them. James, on the other hand, is betraying Paul and Victor, and he is keeping them in the dark about it. He's saying, yeah, we were totally on board to get rid of Corey. But again, I imagine that, you know, hours before the eviction, he'll be like, yeah, so I guess I will be voting Victor out, actually. Texas code. So, yeah.
What does the Texas code mean?
I don't know.
That's my old lady. I don't know.
Barbecue with a nice rub.
Daisy Dukes.
Daisy Dukes, boots.
Steers must be roped above cattle.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, a fun show. Mike, what's the hashtag tonight? Got some. I got a vestigial Corey. We've got an ass rat.
I feel like ass rat might be. I don't. I, God help us if there are other associations with that hashtag, but that might be, especially in lieu of Andy coming on. I feel like it's going to be a great segue into Wednesday's show.
All right. Well, excited for Wednesday night's show. Of course, we're going to have our first Australian Survivor recap between myself and Stephen Fishback. We're going to do that one live tomorrow night. Right now, it's scheduled for 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Be on the lookout for that show as well. Landing again, live Big Brother again on Wednesday night, and of course on Thursday night after the eviction. And hopefully maybe we have a new HOH, maybe we have a new person back in the house, but chances are we probably have neither, and we'll speculate about what's going to happen on that show. Mike, talk about the RuPaul's Drag Race Rehap Up. Where can people find that show?
On reality TV Rehap Ups, along with some other great coverage, including Taryn's awesome coverage of American Ninja Warrior. I was very primed to talk about Showmances this episode because I was just on the Are You the One finale Rehap Up with Ali Lasher and my wife, which was a lot of fun getting to see. Yeah, exactly. Circa 2006. I did not do the impression justice, but it was there. The essence was there. So that was a lot of fun. RuPaul's Drag Race, the two other cohorts that were previously on this podcast, Ali Lasher and Brett Wolgamott. We're going to be talking about every episode of All Stars 2, which premieres this Thursday. And we'll be probably be talking every weekend or so. So be sure to send us questions as you watch the episode. And over on post-show recaps, speaking of things that are dark and gritty, like the Big Brother Black Box, I got to sub in on a couple of episodes of the Mr. Robot podcast, where if you watch Mr. Robot, these were two excellent and very polarizing.
Yeah, you guys killed it, really. Long form recaps on Mr. Robot. Mike with Antonio Mazzaro the last couple of weeks there on post show recaps. Of course, you could catch Mike with AJ Mass on the Hamster Factor podcast as well.
Yes. Yeah, so the concept of that podcast is that AJ shows me movies that I have never watched before and we get my take on them.
I still say call it a millennial and Gen Xer watch movies.
I mean, that's a very literal description. I'm sure we could have to fill a
SEO friendly.
We know Rob likes literal descriptions. Yes. Rob has a podcast.
Yes.
And would we do like a Big Brother description at the beginning of like, welcome to a millennial and a Gen Xer describe movies. So I walk into the podcast and I'm a millennial and AJ's a Gen Xer. Yeah. And we describe movies.
Yeah. What do you think Friendship Times is, Mike? It says exactly what it is. That's why it works. People know what to expect.
I guess it does. No alluring mystery in the title.
Yeah, people say hamster fat. What is it about hamsters? I don't know. That I don't have a pet. I don't know.
Pet they lovers, produce hamsters. Whether you're Corey or whether you're Sia, you're gonna love this podcast.
Yo. All right.
So that covers the whole broad spectrum
of animal
life. The whole broad spectrum of everything, of course. And then also on Monday, I'm going to get back into Fear the Walking Dead with live feed correspondent Alex Kidwell. And I will be talking about the season 2.2 of or 2B of Fear the Walking
or
Dead.
Or not to be. Yeah. Emphasis on not to be, right?
Or not to be.
The reason there's the word fear in the title.
It is. So check that out over on post-show recaps as well. And a lot more Survivor preseason stuff coming up this week as well, all on robhasawebsite.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Of course, follow Taryn on Twitter. He is at Armstrong Taryn. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we'll be back again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.